All right, you ready for this?
Yes, I am. No.
Hello, and welcome to the Sprocket Podcast. Hello, and welcome to the Sprocket Podcast, where we are lessening the volumes on the music and simplifying the good life. My name is Brock Dittus.
And I'm Brandon Rhodes, and we are broadcasting from the People's Republic of Portland, nestled in the heart of Cascadia.
We are the show that brings you somewhat irreverent conversations about the intricacies of thinking locally with a global perspective and enjoying the very best that life has to offer along the way.
We're covering arts and culture, bicycles and alternative transportation, food, alcohol, communications, the internet, peninsula-shaped adventures.
I like that. We'll keep that one. Yeah, welcome back. This is episode 94, and we are we're making noise and moving forward.
Yep.
We have later in the show an interview with you, Brandon, and your wife, Candace, about the trip that you took around Washington's Olympic Peninsula this last summer.
Yep.
But before that, we have some news. Mm-hmm. Before that, let me say, I went to a crazy house party last night down in West Lynn, which this was a party that, you know, it was kind of the open invite, friends, inviting strangers, inviting whole football teams.
But it was not at a house of a friend. It was, they were house-sitting, like, in the rich part of town, right?
That's right.
So it's a really, like, this is like the opening scene for one of those dumb high school movies with boobs in it.
Right. I was going to say, it's kind of like a, I said, I think when I got there, like, this reminds me of a John Hughes movie.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and also,
and it sounds like it turned into one.
It really did. The, and I ended up actually being the John Cusack character in Say Anything at the very beginning where he's walking around taking people's keys from them.
Mm-hmm.
Except I wasn't taking anybody's keys. I did pick up a lot of empty bottles.
All right.
And I removed drinks from areas where people might pick them up and drink them later, just to, in the hope that nothing would get worse than it was.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a good time. So this is, the cops showed up, and I wasn't there for the cop giving the whole, like, dressing down of the party, but it was loud.
Dressing down.
Somebody complained, and the police showed up, and the quote of the night was the West Lynn police officer saying, "This isn't Portland." And that's
his impression of Portland.
That's how we were told off, yeah.
Compared to West Lynn.
Yeah. And then later on, we kind of moved things indoors and tried to keep the noise levels down.
Yeah.
But then a neighbor came by and kind of walked into the backyard and said, "Hey, are you guys drinking?" And I think she thought we were underage. I don't think there was anybody that was underage there. But she was like walking around holding up fingers. And our host.
Holding up fingers.
Holding up fingers, trying to see if we could count them. And none
like
of us.
She's just flipping, double flipping.
Right.
You off.
But maybe some of that too. But our host, Kathy, was graciously trying to explain, like, we have permission from the lady. You know, she told us to throw a party. We're very sorry if we've bothered you tonight, and trying to make amends. And the neighbor wouldn't have any of it.
Well, and you guys aren't necessarily the crowd that's going to go crazy and be loud, and it's going to be like a high school John Hughes thing.
That's right.
But the invite was so wide that around 11 o'clock. Something changed.
Right. And
the entire tone.
Our friend Jeffrey called them dude bros, which
I prefer just bros. Don't give them the word dude, man.
Indeed. They were not taking it easy for the rest of us. Yeah, it was exciting. So anyways, all that to say, went to a
bunch
party
of guys
last night.
With polo shirts came in and
that's right.
Played beer pong.
Lots of axe spray.
That sounds ridiculous. Oh, yeah. Bummer, man.
What can you do? So
Don't invite anybody from Tigard.
We did ride our bicycles there, and we took the Oregon City Bridge shuttle, which they've been running a shuttle between the two points across the Willamette River because the bridge has been closed for about a year and a half, and this is the first time I've had a chance to take that.
You took the shuttle,
We took
said.
The shuttle, yeah. So they put your bikes into this little short bus, kind of like the one I drive for work, and drive you across the freeway to West Lynn.
That's really silly.
However, this morning, we did pirate the I-205 and just ride on the shoulder of it. Back to Oregon City.
And so you decided not to cut over the new bridge and risk being shot to death promptly.
That's right. Yeah, well, right next to Isengard, mm-hmm. As I like to call the paper mill there.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember how it went down. I did run over a piece of glass on the freeway.
Oh, bummer.
And it was one of those big pieces, not like, you know, not like it
not like
drained
the secret
the tire.
Splinter, but
exactly. But I could feel it as I went over, and there was like this audible shattering noise as I went by.
Did you get the flat?
I did not so far. We'll see. I need to check before tonight is over so that I don't wake up tomorrow morning planning to go to work and not being able to.
Yes.
We'll see how that goes. Mm-hmm. I do need to replace my tires. I'm starting to wear down to the colored rubber underneath the black rubber on top.
Uh-huh.
But all that to say...
I'm sure there's a euphemism in there somewhere.
I'm sure, yeah, that, hey, we have some news. This is local Portland man Hurt Bird, by the way.
What can you're compare just with the thrill of a brand new bike?
All right, first up from Tree Hugger. Etsy employees haul 600 pounds of compostables each month by bike. Hot dang.
Yeah.
Adam Brown of Etsy's PR team even tells us that the efforts reach beyond their own offices. Quote, some employees, myself included, also save their organic waste from home and bring it into the office to be composted, which is awesome because they don't have the space in my kitchen. I don't have the space in my kitchen to compost that myself. I keep mine in a large Ziploc bag in the freezer. Added bonus is no stinky kitchen trash.
That's it. And we've been dealing with that here in Portland because we've just switched to a municipal composting system.
Curbside compost.
Yeah. And we're not super vigilant about keeping either of those containers clean. Certainly not the one you roll to the curb. But even the
like
one the one that you keep underneath the sink to keep all of your little food scraps in, that is also... A little bit stinky. So,
yes.
There's a picture here of the cargo bike. It's actually, it looks like a cargo trike and pretty cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Also has the Etsy logo on the side of it.
It's a great way to let a workplace be the sort of focal point of making something happen that, you know, other services don't provide.
Exactly. Yeah. So go support them. Why don't you buy something from one of their fine retailers? Including, I'm trying to remember if Jordana from Fort Collins still has an Etsy store. I believe she was selling some of her purses and belts and things made out of recycled inner tubes.
I bet Laura sells some of her. Does she sell some of her stuff through?
I believe she probably does. The metalwork and
her own website,
the head badges. Yeah. I'm having a hard time remembering her site address right now. I want to say it was like Treehouse Tangerine or something like that, but we'll look that up and post that.
I'm sure it's
pathlesspedaled.com. Yeah, so next up.
Next up from Bike Portland, thoughts on getting a free ride.
Yeah, and this was one you forwarded to me. You want to talk a little bit about this?
Yes, I don't remember it though.
So okay.
I'm tapping.
Maybe I'll talk while you're looking it up. It's basically, it was a comment that someone was talking about all the various controversies that come up on bikeportland.org. There's many people saying, you know, that bicycles should be charged for, you know, for their use on the roads. And you know, there are many problems with that argument, but... the response that this commenter posted.
Well, and the brunt of all this is really somebody in Portland now thinks that all Oregonians, like, you have to register and get licensed for a bicycle.
Right,
like,
right.
Licensing process, like, training.
And, you know,
and,
you
they
know
and they responded.
What I think about that.
No!
Yes, thank you, yes. Hayden Christensen.
Uh-huh.
Oh, so there were some good comments. Would you like to read that extended?
Sure. Yeah, I probably won't read the whole thing, but maybe an excerpt here. A couple of things that free means, like I think the problem that people are raising is that bicycles get a free ride. They're not paying taxes at all. The first objection with that would be that a lot of people are taxpayers, and everyone's taxes go to pay for the roads. But on top of that. What free means for a bicycle means on the negative side. Here's just a couple examples from a long, extensive list that this commenter wrote. Free, quote and unquote, means inhaling the exhaust and dust spewed or kicked up by the drivers. Free means drivers frequently coming within seconds or inches of killing or injuring me and having such a cavalier attitude about it as to be considered contempt. Free means paying in time and physical effort for what drivers pay for in cash. Free means getting roasted by the sun and drenched by the rain. Free means taking a longer, often much longer route, even though I am already also going slower than it would take in a car because it is, quote, safer, or because the direct route is literally and legally off limits to bicycle travel, like the I-205 that I took this morning. Many other things. However, he also says on the positive side, free also means that I can hear birds singing, the actual flapping of ducks' wings as they pass over my head, or if you're Joshua DePerry, the peregrine falcon eating a smaller bird.
Yes.
Free means I can tell what most of my neighbors are having for dinner by the smell as I can glide along down the street. Free means no gym membership necessary. Free means I can feel the thermal microclimate fluctuations as I sweep past low-lying woodsy areas. I really like that, by the way.
Yeah.
Especially on Terwilliger. Free means I can still feel strong even as I get older. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So El Biciclero, I think, is the name of this commenter, and he's spot on, he or she. Mm-hmm. So we recommend that. Yeah, if you want to check out the full text of that, we'll have that on our website as well. So, yeah, next up.
Caching. There we go.
Oh, there you go.
Sightline by way of Logan. Northwest gasoline consumption makes a modest decline.
Yeah.
Far out.
Yeah, and a couple of the bullet points. Per capita gasoline use in Oregon and Washington in 2011 fell to its lowest level in nearly 50 years. And many people are saying that this is the sort of thing that is not simply due to like gas efficiency in vehicles, but also due to the fact that, oh, hey, that school bus down across the cul-de-sac is moving.
Whoa.
It's been there for like 6 months. That's weird.
They moved it once this summer.
Oh, okay. Good times.
Yep.
What we see from our studio windows. But yeah, it's not just that cars are becoming more fuel efficient, but also that cars are just being driven less, period. Yep. Like people, especially young people, as I remember in, I don't know if that statistic is here or not. I think maybe in another. Young Americans saw the biggest decrease in personal vehicle travel on state-owned roads. Fallen, in fact, 13% over the past decade. So yeah, it's pretty cool. But thanks, Logan, for passing that along, and that's good news for the rest of us.
Yes, it is.
So, yeah. And then?
All right. Next up is from NPR by way of Dane. Copenhagen builds highways for people on bicycles. Oh, yeah. This is like that big I don't know what the hell it is. Go.
Yeah, yeah. It's a
I thought it had a roundabout in it.
It might. It's a freeway for bikes. Yeah, and I think I gave you a couple excerpts from the article there.
Yeah. City officials want even more people to commute and over long distances.
In Copenhagen.
Lars Gardholz, an official with the Copenhagen Capital. Hey,
that's a good name.
Capital. Well, it's like the opening credits on Monty Python and
that's
the Holy Grail.
Exactly.
My sister once bitten by a moose. Says the routes will be straight and direct. It will be very fast for people who use their bikes, he says. This is new because traditionally cycle paths have been placed where there is space for accent, that is. There's space for them, and the cars didn't run. So now the bike is going to challenge the car. Now the bike is going to challenge the car.
Ergen Flergen.
Yes. Each it's a totally Scandinavian. It's not fair.
Sorry.
Each mile of... I don't know. It's my problem. Each mile of bike highway will cost about $1 million. The project is to be financed by the city of Copenhagen and 21 local governments. And in a country where both right and left-leaning politicians regularly ride bikes to work, it has bilateral support. Several innovations are being tested, like green wave technology, which times traffic lights to suit bikers. Oh, yeah, that's rad.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
If you maintain a certain pace, you can ride all the way through into the city without stopping. There are also footrests with bars to lean on at traffic lights and a bike pump every mile in case you have a flat. What?
Dude, that's the thing I think about. Like, bicycle-specific infrastructure, I love that there are separate paths, but the idea, this is kind of like in Cambridge, they have those bike stands that are also bicycle repair stands.
Yeah, a lot of campuses are starting to adopt those.
Yeah, yeah. So they've got, like, tools and things all strapped down so, like, you can use them if your bike's in trouble. I love the idea that a pump might just be sitting somewhere. In fact, there was one in Vancouver just on the north side of the I-5 bridge. And I don't know if it's still there or not, but back when I used to live up there and commute down the bridge, it was nice to know the pump was there just in case I was going to get in trouble.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's a fantastic idea.
Absolutely.
Speaking of timing traffic lights, this is from Portland Afoot a couple months back, but I think they shared on their fine podcast over at portlandafoot.org. If you're walking in downtown Portland and you don't want to wait at crosswalks as a pedestrian, what you do is find a one-way street and walk counter to traffic, walk against traffic.
And it works.
And at a normal normal walking pace, if you get one, you're probably going to get them all.
Yep.
Which is pretty cool. So, yeah, there's that. And then lastly.
The Atlantic Cities. Is London serious about building a network of elevated bike lanes?
And I don't know. Are they?
I don't think so.
Right. It's a great idea, though. There's a mock-up, this graphic here that you pointed out. It would combine an elevated bicycle path, kind of like the L in Chicago, but instead of for trains, for bicycles, with periodic breaks so you can get off onto the actual city streets, and then possibly covered with some sort of swirly architecture.
Yeah, it would be like a big glass-ish tube, and then they have like a big ribbon of red spiraling around it. So it'd be like you're driving through a vortex of joy and wheels.
Yeah.
Which, you know, gives it a particular distinctive, like, kind of brand identity. But seeing a big red ribbon blast through, you know, a historic neighborhood seems a bit silly.
This reminds me a little bit of a picture I saw of an elevated bikeway in Los Angeles, of all places, from back in, what, the early 1920s, 30s, 40s, somewhere in there, pre-World War II. But yeah, when the bicycle was actually a viable option for people
in that city.
Yeah. And, people were able to take this thing from one place to the other without, without stopping. It was like an expressway for your velocipede.
Wow.
So yeah, it's pretty cool. And I, the big controversy on this article is the idea that some people are really pro infrastructure and some people don't like separated infrastructure because it takes bicycles off of the roads and denormalizes them as a part of regular traffic.
Right.
And that is problematic for people who are interested in bicycles being accepted as legitimate vehicles. Mm-hmm. It reminds me a little bit of Jonathan Moss from
his whole thing, man.
Bicyclingportlanding.org. Bikeportland.org. He talks about the Department of Motor Vehicles here in Oregon. He wants to rename it the Department of Vehicles because not all vehicles are motorized here. Indeed. And more so as people are using cargo bikes for various things. You know, if they do in fact have to be licensed, or if you need, you know, official government training to ride a bicycle legally, you know, on the streets, you got to call it the Department of Vehicles. Yep. So I think that'd be a good idea. I don't know if it would happen or not, but we shall see how
it reorients the mission of the organization of it.
Exactly. And it does good things for those guys who are still riding, you know, Amish buggies or like the guy that what you saw on your trip down towards Silverton, was it? Or down towards Salem, where the guy who was like taking a horse cart across America.
Oh, yeah. There was that guy with the wood covered the covered wagon, and he had two giant horses hauling him around.
Exactly.
He was like two stories off the ground.
Were they like Budweiser horses?
Yeah, nice. They were huge. Yeah, not Clydesdales, but something a little bit, yeah.
Right, so for him,
less showy.
The Department of Motor Vehicles means jack shit.
Yeah, horse shit.
Exactly. So, anyways, there you go. Those are our news headlines for today, and let me give you this.
You're taking a lot of responsibility in owning and riding a bicycle. You are now an operator of a wheeled vehicle.
All right, we'll roll the interview that we just taped with you and Candace, Brandon, about your summer adventure. And then we'll come back on the other side with the mailbag. Welcome to the Sprocket Podcast. This is Brock Dittus. That's Brandon Rhodes.
Hi. Hello.
And we have with us also Candace Rhodes.
Hello there.
Of the Rhodes household. And we invited you in to talk about the enormous adventure you had this summer, among other things. So welcome to the show. And this is your second appearance.
It is.
But the first one kind of almost didn't count because it was like, we don't have a guest.
We were the backup.
Bring the wives in. Yeah, so.
And you
sorry.
Just walked in with drinks, I think.
That's true.
Oh, yeah.
That's true. You were serving drinks. It was the gin drinks when Ellie Tallheimer was here. And, and none of us knew how to mix a drink. I felt bad about that.
They were delicious. Gimlets, I think, was
gimlets.
What I ended up making. Yeah, I ended up making those. So.
That's a cool word. I like that. It was with that dry soda.
Ooh.
Today we're drinking, what is it, Trader Joe's chai, a powdered mix.
Spicy
I think.
Chai.
Yeah.
Iced spicy chai.
On Candace's recommendation, I said, what do you want to drink? And it was far too early. It's like, what, slightly after noon. And it was far too early to start drinking in earnest. So
in
here
earnest.
It is.
You can drink insincerely.
That's right. So there was a trip, and you guys left. You had it planned for the first week of July. Is that right?
First week of June or so. We were going to bike around the Olympic Peninsula.
I think it was the last week in June. So we were like, summer will be here by then.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We wanted to give it a good generous... Like, it'll definitely be summertime.
Right.
And we went up to visit with Lewis and Mindy Avden, Lewis being our gardening consultant.
That's right, on episode 10.
Erstwhile, yeah, gardening.
And Brandon's BFF.
Indeed.
That's right.
Yeah, I guess he kind of is.
Yeah, you guys know he took the Eugene days. Yeah.
Anyhow, so we stayed there, had a great time, and then got on the road, and we're looking at the from Olympia, looking at the forecast, and it was like, well, it's raining today, but it's supposed to maybe sputter a little less with every day. And, you know, this is going to be like a week-long thing. Candace's job does not let her get that much paid or unpaid time off.
Right.
So this is our one shot at it. Oh, I don't want to use my 1 week on rain. It doesn't make for a fun, relaxing vacation.
Yeah, and Candace, well, was this paid time at this point, or was it unpaid?
It was paid. They don't let me take unpaid, which really sucks. Yeah.
Indeed.
Every other job I've had, but oh well. But we actually like embarked on the adventure thinking we'll get over it. And within 15 miles, I was like soaked through all my rain clothes.
Including little rain booties. Like everything was wet.
Dude, yeah. When the booties are wet, that's bad news.
Yeah. So I wasn't like upset or anything, but we pulled over and I was like, this isn't fun. I was like, it's ugly. I can't see anything and I'm cold and wet.
Not what I'd hope for.
Well, yeah, you want to be able to see the Olympic mountains.
Right.
And when it's just a big gray blech up there. Yeah, it's a bummer. Sorry, that was more texture than I meant.
No, that's okay. That was several consonants at the end. Yeah. I liked it. The thing about Washington is that Washington and Oregon both have really late onset of summer. Like we don't usually get really hot weather until what, halfway through July or more.
Yeah, like June is usually great and early July is usually awesome, but this was the second wettest June on record for Portland, and that was really true for most of Cascadia. So
okay, yeah,
we just gave up, went back, went out for Thai food, and that was that.
Very expensive Thai food. But yeah, that's a different mediocre story. Yeah.
Don't have Thai food in downtown Olympia.
Well, good to know.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, so that was kind of a bust, but you guys gave it a second shot, and this was a successful shot. Is that right?
Yes, it was. We started the trip the same way, except instead of going west first, mm-hmm. we decided to go north first and go the opposite way around the peninsula than we had first decided upon.
Okay.
So yeah, Olympia to Quilcene, and then
Quilcene. Just shy of that. Yeah.
Yeah. And Quilcene is one of those towns that I've always seen on the map and never been to. Is it cute?
It's like a little logging town where there's like right-wing like news clippings.
Really?
All over the place in the diner anyway.
Mm.
Yeah.
Curious.
Yeah, there were a ton of motorcycles on the entire peninsula, but tons of them there, like big expensive ones.
Right.
And a lot of political signage that was very bitter about the national park. Like, hey, that beautiful park is keeping us from being able to cut the trees down and have jobs.
Interesting.
So it's like, all right, I kind of sympathize with about 10% of that argument, but seriously, you don't like it?
Yeah. The not having money thing is probably, that makes sense, mm-hmm. but national parks are pretty.
Well, yeah.
And we keep them there for a reason. Like, yeah. We still like trees.
And there's respectful ways to chop down trees and mm-hmm. there's disrespectful ways. Anyway. But that first day, like,
the campsite was gorgeous, like extremely tall trees. And my brother showed up. He met us there, and he made us dinner and had gin and like wonderful things for us.
He had everything set up. It was amazing.
Nice.
Well, but we don't like killing ourselves on any given day of a bike ride. It's like we want a good challenge, but be able to enjoy a substantial amount of time at the campsite. And we hadn't trained or prepped for this. Like,
okay, sure.
She'd bike commuted, and you know I work at home now, so I'm not biking as much. And our first day was a hilly 67 miles, which is to say it's like – that's like a flat 110. You know, it's right. Just murder mm-hmm. for us folks. We were not prepared for that. And it ended with maybe, what, 7 miles of uphill, 5 miles of uphill?
Yeah, and it took us an hour and 15 minutes to go 7 miles because I was just like every 50 feet stopping and – resting for like 20 seconds and then like, okay, here we go again.
Right.
It was awful.
And when you're traveling by bicycle, that's the kind of demoralizing experience that like it's tricky at any point, but especially at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
That will just take the wind right out of your sails.
Yeah.
Yes. So we kind of rolled into camp a little bit delirious.
And we're like, what time is it? Scott, that's my brother, and he's like, it is 8:45 at night.
And we said we would be there by like 7.
Wow.
Or 6:30, I think.
Yeah, we kind of failed. Yeah, we took like 12 hours to go 70 miles.
That's so intense. So it's a good thing he met you there with food then.
Yes.
Yes, quite. And gin.
And a fire.
And a fire.
Nice.
Yeah, it was awesome.
So what are we talking about just as far as campgrounds are concerned? Was this a public campground, private campground?
Yeah, it was it Falls Creek or something like that? It's a great campground. Really thick foliage and pretty empty. It was great.
Nice.
Well enough maintained.
The best part of that first day was after biking uphill for an hour and 15 minutes. We got to go downhill right before the campsite, and you could see these insane mountains in the distance with snow, and it was absolutely gorgeous. So we got to fly downhill for a little bit before rolling into the campsite.
Well, and most of the day was going along the Hood Canal, which is a beautiful inlet of the wider Puget Sound,
right?
Interweave of fresh and salt waters,
and not actually a man-made canal. I believe it's a natural feature. It's like this little arm of water reaching down and kind of trying to touch
bowing
the
back
of Olympia.
Up. Yeah,
but not actually reaching it.
Right. So it was just a great view, but we bit off more than we could chew. So the next day was only 50 or like 45. Yeah. it was less, but we were going to go up. So the equivalent on like if you make the peninsula a clock, we were going to go from 3 o'clock to noon.
Oh, there we go.
Up to Port Angeles, and we were going to stay with the Warm Showers folk. But we failed on day two. Because normally, like when you get hungry, you feel it in your belly, you get a little grumble. That did not occur for either of us. We occasionally had a little bit to eat or had water or Gatorade or whatever, but like just didn't eat. And then we started getting pissier and pissier. And well, because the next way your body tells you that you're hungry is nihilism.
Right.
Like, fuck this trip. Why are we? Oh, this is crazy. Oh, I can't do this. Why did we take this road? This is a horrible road. I hate roads.
It's like Nietzsche never ate.
Yeah, exactly. We all became little Nietzsche.
And then there was a headwind for the last 20 miles, so that was just demoralizing as well.
But those last 20 miles were on the Olympic Discovery Trail.
No,
and the
actually,
Olympic
most
Discovery
of it.
Trail is yes. fantastic.
Yeah, so we were like, oh, we'll just take 101 all the way. And then as we look to our right, we keep seeing bikers kind of paralleling us, but in the woods. And we're like, why aren't we on that? So we talked to a little passerby, and he told us about it. And he's like, yeah, it'll take you to Port Angeles. And it was awesome. So beautiful.
Nice. Yeah, it's a separate paved path that goes through the woods. It keeps you off the highways. And Adele and I did that 4 years ago, I think. Mm-hmm. I think we were going the opposite direction, but we both passed by the gun club. I remember you mentioned that you saw that.
Yeah.
There's the hilarious story of like every time we go out, we inevitably pass by a gun club. Like bicycle routes apparently just they're drawn to them like magnetism. So, yeah, and the Discovery Trail also has lots of ups and downs.
Oh, man, yeah. And some that are like should be illegally steep. Like there's no way you can bicycle up that with any amount of cargo.
Yeah. Did you ever wheelie?
A little bit, but then we learned to, just from being back weighted. Yeah.
Candace, did you wheelie?
I don't know what that means.
Did your front wheel ever come off the pavement at any point?
Oh my gosh.
Like you're torquing too hard and then it.
Wait, while going up or down?
Either one, but I was thinking up.
Oh, no. That sounds scary.
That's good.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, it's a nice combination of, rails to trails with, a few little back roads, so it was a good time.
Yeah,
and so we were so ready to get to this Warm Showers place. There's only like two options in all of Port Angeles.
Yeah, not too many people offering cyclists hosting for free.
Right, and this guy, the other option had a cat, and I'm allergic to cats, so we were gonna get this guy. We get to his house. It's an amazing house on the top of like a cliff. Looking down at the sound.
Yeah, overlooking all of like the mouth of the sound to the ocean.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, so we're watching these huge cargo ships go by, and you can see the San Juan Islands. He's got a heck of a space. And we get there, and he had sent an email being like, hey, man, sorry, I'm driving back on I-90, and it's going to be another 3.5 hours before we get there.
Oh, so he wasn't there.
Yeah, and because you're so high up by the water, there's a constant wind, so we couldn't really cook any food on our little stove. So it was like, where are we going to go? What are we going to do? This is terrible.
And you don't want to go back down the hill to get food at a restaurant or something.
Yeah. Right.
So, and meanwhile, I'm like so angry and tired. I'm like, oh, I can't do this anymore.
She's crying and her hands aren't strong enough. She's so malnourished. Yeah, we weren't eating or drinking much that day. You couldn't, like, hold things. Like, you couldn't pull your pant leg up.
Yeah, awesome. I couldn't fold
my pant leg up?
Nihilism to the extreme.
My fingers didn't pinch anymore.
Nihilism.
So Brandon was like, Candace, we have to go into town. And I was like, I can't do it. So I ate an entire bag of trail mix and then finished off a bag.
Well done.
And then we rolled down the hill and I...
And back up the big hill.
And back up 101 just for, like, a mile and a half, but... I cried. I hated it.
Yeah, yeah.
So in the distance, we see like a little shopping area, but like kind of industrial. So there's a Dollar Tree and there's a Walmart and that's about it. So I see in the distance a Subway sign and I'm like
the restaurant?
Yeah. Yes. And Brandon's like, well, we could do Subway or, you know, I think there's a Chinese place up the street. Do you want to go there? And I'm like, no, Subway, let's go. In the Northwest, it's kind of, in certain circles, it's kind of a faux pas to shop at Walmart.
Sure.
You know, it's not very socially responsible.
Right.
So I look at the Walmart and the Subway's right next to it. And I'm like, hey, Brandon, you know, I kind of need to pick up a few things. And the only store around here is Walmart. So, man, I guess I'm going to have to buy some stuff at Walmart. And Brandon's like, well, you can go in there, but I'll wait outside.
I've never stepped foot in the Walmart for like 7 years.
Yeah. And that's like a badge on your hipster arm.
Yep.
Damn right.
So socially responsible Northwesterner arm.
Right.
And so I'm like, oh, you're being ridiculous. And then as I'm saying this, I'm realizing something. I'm like, Brandon, you're going to have to go into the Walmart because the Subway is inside the Walmart.
Which isn't that good of a punchline outside of Portland.
Right.
But in Portland, they love it.
Uh-huh, so, yeah.
Every time we've told that story, everyone laughs heartily.
They're like, and the Subway
but the rest of the,
was in the Walmart.
Yeah, but that makes for such a dumb story anywhere else. It's like, and then we had to go in a Walmart.
It's dangerous.
Oh my god. But you know, to be fair, it does harmonize with at least one Portlandia sensibility, which is a Helvetica font, I think, is their. So that's there you go. It may be Tahoma Sands, I don't know.
Right. Have you both seen that documentary?
I've watched half of Helvetica. I really want to watch all of it.
For anyone out there that doesn't know, Brandon and Candace, I think, are both font geeks. Like you guys get interested in the way that letters are shaped and Sarah,
yeah, I think we have stronger opinions about what fonts shouldn't be than what they should.
So, what is it? Papyrus? It should never exist anywhere.
No.
I've seen that on many signs in rural areas.
We don't really have dissident opinions with most people who pay attention to fonts.
Okay, right. It's the people who don't know what you're talking about.
We share the common rebuke of Papyrus and Comic Sans.
Curls.
Curls.
Yeah. No, I remember sometime on my trip this last summer, I saw Comic Sans on like an official sign somewhere. And I've never seen Comic Sans.
As in like
Sans.
A government issue?
I think it was, I think it was placed there by a government entity.
Ugh.
So I haven't seen that in, I don't know, print, I guess, like official print, like on a sign. It just seems like you can make fun of Comic Sans when it's somewhere else. But
when you see it in government writing.
It really shocked me. So anyways, so you guys had an interesting experience at the host's house that night, right?
Well, yeah. So after we walked around like zombies full of tuna melts at Walmart, where we both mutually forgot the shopping cart. We thought the other person had the shopping cart.
With our like wallets and phones in the shopping cart.
It was just like sitting there in front of like the tablet display or something.
Yeah.
And I thought you had the shopping cart. So we go back to the guy's house and he's like, oh, well, I'll put you up in the garage. I've got like this nice padded carpet and there's a sauna over there. So got to enjoy the sauna and be well taken care of. He's got some recumbents hanging on the wall and such. And,
he had like 15 bikes.
And Brandon, you love recumbent bicycles.
I really want to get a recumbent tricycle.
Yeah. Tadpole style.
Is that what they call that?
I don't know. Blah, blah, blah,
blah. Oh, it's good. I like that.
No offense to any listeners, but they're so dorky looking.
Oh, but they're so fun. They're really, really fun.
They're like the tall bikes for the 60-year-old set.
And me.
And Brandon.
Yeah.
Not if
yeah.
I can help it, but
yeah. Yeah. It's like if a tall bike is a hot air balloon, then a Recumbent would be, I don't know.
Submarine.
Submarine. Yeah.
That's it.
A sand crawler. I don't know. So...
Is that the thing Jabba the Hutt rode on in...
It's what the Jawas use. Oh, he had a sail barge.
Oh, yeah. I like the sail barge.
Skiffs.
Yeah. Wow. But to the point, the warm showers host that you were staying with, there were some things that didn't quite work out the way you anticipated.
Yeah, so we come out of the sauna, and I kept smelling this really odd burning smell, and I thought, oh, it's probably just the sauna.
And initially, I thought that smell was... Because it had this weird... It was a really odd smell, but I tried a little bit of his shampoo from the shower, and it's like a finish, and it smells like beef jerky.
Hmm.
So I was like, weird, this combination of like the sauna and the beef jerky shampoo, I don't know. And then we realized, no, it's a decisively chemical smell.
Yeah, and meanwhile, I kept hearing this sound.
About every 10 seconds.
Just like that.
Yeah, like kind of like air seeping out of a tire, like a little burst of air.
Interesting.
So I searched the whole garage, and suddenly I noticed that one of the fluorescent lights is issuing little puffs of smoke.
Oh, my.
And that's the smell.
Oh.
So we turn off the light, and we try to go to sleep on the floor, but I get an instant headache from the smell. So we couldn't...
That doesn't smell like beef jerky at all.
No.
So Candace sleeps in the laundry room, and I sleep between the shower and the sauna.
Which
well
are separate
done.
Rooms.
Yeah, completely away from the garage. Left him a nice note.
There you go. Just saying, sorry about that, but, electrical fire and whatnot.
Yeah, we didn't know what to do. An electric fire is a big deal, but we figured if we turned it off, it would stop. So
That's it.
So.
And I was just nervous that he would be like getting ready to go to work really early in the morning and come into the laundry room to get something and be like, what the hell is she doing in here?
Right. Or like step like right on your hip or something.
Right. It was a very small laundry room.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
Okay. So that was interesting, but you got, you know, a night's sleep indoors and all that. And had you upgraded to what's a step above nihilism? Is it existential?
What would be a step above nihilism?
I think existential means you still don't believe that there's anything to live for, but you're doing it anyways.
I think...
but you're okay with it.
Yeah.
Ontological empiricism.
Okay, there we go. So you had upgraded to that after a good night's sleep indoors.
Perhaps, yeah.
Okay.
I myself am a critical realist, but it's a different thing entirely.
There you go.
So...
And this is the point where the trip went to multimodal, right?
It is. We had a...
A revelation.
A moment of clarity, yes. we are not going to ride our bikes around the entire peninsula. Yeah. We are not going to... We really love about 30 to 40 miles a day, especially when there's a bit of hill involved.
Sure.
Just because we're still happy, we challenge ourselves a bit, and then we have plenty of time at the campsite to like eat things and read and hang out.
Right, and actually enjoy yourself at the end of the day.
And the thing that enabled this decision was when we realized that there's a splendid network of very well-subsidized rural bus routes.
Yes, there is.
Yeah.
All around the
I noticed as I biked uphill at probably 5 miles an hour that I kept seeing this sign that was like, Jefferson County Bus, call this number. And I was like, I am memorizing this number just in case. And I'm
you memorized
so, I did. I couldn't tell it to you now, but at the time I totally memorized it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And the Jefferson County connector, I think, is the one that goes from Forks, Washington to, is it Quinault? Quinault Lake?
There's one that goes from Forks, which is at about the 10 or 9:30.
On the clock of the Washington Peninsula.
It goes all the way up to about the 1:30, which is Port Townsend, I think.
Oh, okay.
So there's that huge connection. You have to make a transfer in Port Angeles.
Okay.
Anyhow, so we had a giant cup of coffee in downtown Port Angeles. Port Angeles is a great little town.
Nice.
Great little. Yeah, it's good. So for like $1.50 each, went 62 miles that day.
That's economy. Forks. That's bang for your buck and a half.
Yeah. And Forks...
Vampire
then we landed in Forks, which was hilarious.
For those who don't know, Forks is the place that they filmed a good chunk of Twilight. That's where it takes place.
Did they actually film? Because I know they filmed in a lot of places around the Northwest. I know it's set in Forks, which...
The book is set in Forks.
Okay, right.
Because it's such a rainy and dark, cloud-covered town, vampires choose to live there because if they're exposed to sunlight, they won't die.
They will
They'll sparkle.
Sparkle.
They yes.
Will. That's right.
I think they 255 inches of rain a year. So
wow.
Yeah. So like 3/4 of an inch a day.
That's pretty intense.
Yeah, so it's a damp place. But the town, it used to be this like big, like this logging town, and you know, you've got that intersection of like logger trucks coming in and transferring their cargo and all kinds of things, and very manly kind of culture.
Are you saying Twilight is not manly?
Well, yes. Sparkly vampires are not that manly.
Apparently you haven't seen Edward Cullen with his shirt off. Just kidding.
Don't Google that.
I would imagine not.
Yeah, so we it turns out this manly town has, because of the decline of the logging industry a bit and things like that, you know, they were in a bit of a rut, and they clung to the first thing they could to change their economy, which is, well, probably first meth, but second was Twilight.
Okay, sure.
And so I've been watching Breaking Bad. Sorry.
There were two revolutions.
Yes. So the whole town has just sold its soul to the vampires. There's just, was it Dazzled by Twilight?
Dazzled by Twilight tours. You could take a tour of Forks, the Twilight tour.
Wow.
You could go to Native to Twilight, which was some other something. There was Alice's.
Is that the one that features Jacob and the werewolves?
I don't know. Oh, yes. It was okay. Native American themed. Okay. And then.
Who are you?
I know way too much about this.
Who are you, bro?
And then at the Ace Hardware store, there was hanging in the window a denim vest with a name tag that said Bella. And you could pay to get your picture taken in her work vest.
In her vest, yeah.
Yes. What else?
Wow.
There was, the best of all, we were hungry, so we went to Chinese food, and it was just a regular old Chinese restaurant, except for the fact that on the door it said, in some sort of mystical font, maybe curls, but...
No, it was the one that was, like, melty, like, scary.
Yeah,
scary
kind font. Of a Halloween okay. font.
Right, right.
Not ghost cap.
Creature. Anyway. Or something, yeah.
Yeah, so we go in, and there are three life-size cardboard cutouts of Bella, Edward, and Jacob.
In a Chinese restaurant, which, yes. as far as we know, has no connection to
the
story.
Yeah, there's a poster of the movie, like, on the door. Yeah, it's like, God, we're eating Chinese food. There's not even sparkles on my Kung Pao tofu.
Leave me alone. You should have had the General Tso's
blood capsules in there or something. Yeah. That'd be cool.
General Cullen's.
Yeah, that's it.
So anyway, yeah, the remainder of our trip was... little 30-mile days, and then spent two nights at Lake Quinault.
It's a beautiful place.
It's an amazing space. Yeah. $15 a night for the walk-in sites, and like you're really close to everything you would ever need or want.
Yeah.
We should mention at the lodge.
Oh, yes, the lodge.
We were like, hey, let's go have happy hour, and it's like at the Rainforest Resort Village, which is just a bunch of cabins and a place to get beer.
Right.
Very expensive restaurant.
Yeah, with this like golf coursey grass going down to the lake.
Sloping lawns of green.
Wow. Mm. It sounds lovely.
And we notice that like there aren't that many boats out on the water that evening, but we notice that there's a thing that looks sort of like a bumper car.
Uh-huh.
Just like going parallel to the shores. And there's like, you know, two people, one behind the other.
The weirdest looking boat ever. It had like... It looked like it was from the 80s. It had like red and white stripes and a ginormous fan in the back.
Wow.
I didn't even recognize it as a fan at that point. I thought it was just a big dumb fin.
So yeah. Was it one of those boats that you like drive through the Everglades?
Well, let me tell you. So we're watching this. Brandon's like, look at that boat.
It wasn't that big.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And I was like, what the hell is that? That is the weirdest boat I have ever seen. And then slowly they're approaching the shore as if to dock themselves. But instead of stopping and getting out and anchoring it to the shore, they keep going, and it starts riding on the lawn. And it's a hovercraft.
Oh, my goodness.
And it spins around. Like, they do a couple donuts in the lawn, and they buzz past the restaurant. And there's this, like, little 12-year-old kid in the back looking over at us with this cocky grin on his face waving. It's like, you spoiled little shit.
Look at me.
Look at me, everybody. I'm on a hovercraft.
It's still 1987.
You know, and you could hear the whole restaurant being like, oh, hovercraft, hovercraft, hovercraft. Everybody's like, hovercraft. Everybody stops leaning. They're leaning over, looking under the blinds. Wow, that's crazy. And, like, Candace and I try doing the slow clap of like, we are very mildly impressed by this. And nobody joins in.
Yeah, everybody talked about it individually at their table, but did not look around and high-five people. Yeah,
it was the resort of rugged individualism.
Yeah, okay. It was not the they weren't there to meet the neighbors or anything.
No.
Yeah, okay.
One thing about camping that I enjoyed was how easy it is to carry a little bit of timber on the back rack.
Just
a couple bungee cords. If you go buy a little like thing of wood for your campsite.
Nice.
I was biking down 101 to the campsite with some wood on my back, and this logging truck goes by in the opposite direction. And I felt like I was the cooler of the two timber carrying vehicles on the road that
day. Is that a logging bike?
Yes, it is.
Nice. Fantastic.
Carries about 15 pounds at a time.
Yeah. Well, you guys, you wrapped up going through Aberdeen, home of Kurt Cobain. The slogan of which, I believe, the official town slogan on the sign is "Come as you are."
Is it like a church?
I suppose you could say that.
The Methodists own the entire town.
Also, the lyric to one of his popular songs, but
you didn't know that.
No.
As I understand, there's also a large cement statue of Kurt Cobain that has never received approval to be installed in a public location, so it lives like in an auto garage somewhere.
That's weird.
Fix cars during the day, and at night, you know, Kurt Cobain just watches over the place.
Indeed. And we took the bus 90 miles that day.
Right. And that's the one that goes from Grays Harbor all the way out to Olympia.
Well,
right?
Lake Quinault down to Grays Harbor.
Oh, yeah.
We made a transfer there. Made our way back to Olympia.
Yeah.
And that was like, what, maybe $3 each or something like that?
It's not bad at all.
Well, and it was, you know, we got the bus at 8:45 in the morning, so you've got all these rural folk taking the bus. Like, it was a full bus at 8:45 in the morning.
Wow.
We were the second stop on it.
Uh-huh.
And there was this really nice guy across the way from us, just like was immensely curious with a warm heart about it all.
Yeah.
And as he's talking to us, we realize in each hand he's got one of those little cardboard boats with a like corn dog in each one.
Oh, nice.
And that was his breakfast, was two corn dogs. And so he's occasionally eating a corn dog out of the little cardboard boat while talking to us.
Right,
so
right.
The bus smells of...
It reeks of corn dog.
Corn dog and some, you know...
And condiments.
Ripe people.
That's a distinct smell.
Ripe.
Yeah.
Distinctive mix, yes. Wow.
Yeah.
But it was a fun, like, combining bicycling with the bus.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it led us... And doing these shorter days, it was a much more relaxed thing. I can really appreciate those big, long days of struggle. Like, you and I did 108 miles through some hills.
It was torturous for the last 30 or so.
Oh, God, we just didn't talk. but there were pulled pork sandwiches and beer at the end, so it was fine.
That makes up for a lot.
I can appreciate that, but, man, I really enjoy just enjoying, like, yeah, it was a great way to do it.
Yeah, we were able to stay at Lake Quinault for an extra day because we cut down our biking time, so that was really nice.
All right, because of the fantastic public transit connections.
That's right.
Yeah.
It increased our spending at these small towns.
Well, I think it's good to tell stories like this because you can tell, like, you know, awesome stories of, like, we biked 108 miles. It was crazy. But I think it's equally good to be able to say, hey, we got all this way without a car. It cost us, like, you know, some pedaling and $3 and change. And, you know, we had this fantastic adventure. And I think people need to hear those stories as well because this is possible in many places.
Well, it's not primarily about how hard you push your body. That's one thing that many people value and appreciate.
Right.
And
there's a place for performance, but there's also a place for relaxation.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you're on vacation. Make sure you are enjoying yourself, and even hard days, you have a spirit of, like, accomplishment or something about it.
Precisely.
Yeah. Like, know what you want.
Exactly.
And also, like, I have never been athletic at all. And, yeah, terrible at sports. But I can bike and I can do 30 miles and it's challenging and fun. So it's like, you don't have to be perfectly in shape or athletic to enjoy bike touring if you mix it with busing and that kind of thing. So,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That I'm glad you guys had the experience. I'm going to take your approach, Brandon, from the other week and, flip it around on you. Did you folks learn anything about yourselves that you think you might not have learned if you had not taken this trip?
Good question. I already knew I hated mosquitoes, and
okay.
That trip just proved even more that I loathe them.
It's been reinforced.
Yes.
I think for me it was I can appreciate a broad spectrum of like bicycle touring. Like I found satisfaction in doing the, you know, 70 to 100 mile days with you on our trip a couple summers ago. It's you know, all about who you're with. And like I had initially charted out this trip to not have any bus things, and they were going to be a bunch of like 50 to 60 mile days. Oh my. And you know, that's just not what Candace and I would enjoy together.
Sure. Yeah.
That's not like a code word for like Candace just can't do that. It was like, no, we just don't enjoy that together.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's just not how we mesh. So,
well, and I realized too, that the first 2 days it was like bike all day, then be so freaking tired at the campsite that you just like stay up, eat something, and then go to bed at 9 because you're so tired. So I was like, you know, I'd rather enjoy our campsite and do fun camping like things, like sit up late and read Ray Bradbury stories while drinking gin.
Yep.
Which
that
we
sounds
did.
Like a good night.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, we were able to then like, you know, at the beach site after a 30-mile day. We rolled in, 1:30?
We went to the beach. I forgot.
Yeah,
about that.
And had a great time just hanging out on the beach and going for a walk and taking a nap and helping kids build a fort out of driftwood.
That's the best.
And having really shitty food that cost way too much at that stupid restaurant. But, you know, it was...
Oh, yeah, that's so gross.
It was really bad. It was the worst wrap of all time.
It was the only vegetarian thing on the menu. It was a wrap with hummus and vegetables in it. And it was disgusting.
It was all Aramark food, and it didn't taste good together at all. Anyway.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Anyway, yeah.
That can be difficult to find good vegetarian food on the road.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So knowing what you, I learned that about, I guess more about bike touring than myself.
Yeah. Yeah, well, those are good lessons to have. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure like as this sits in your heart and resonates over the next year while you're sitting at home, you'll probably find some other lessons as well. We'll check back with you. Well, thank you for taking the time, Candace, to tell some of the stories. And Brandon, you're here all the time.
Here I am.
Thank you for being here. Well, in honor of your multimodal trip, we got from Gary Cavanaugh, who I met his friends with the Pathless Pedal folks and lives down in L.A. He was up here for the zombie ride. Oh. And I think he took the photograph set that is up on Flickr for that. He tweeted this thing about the bus bike rack wrap. From the TARC system, TARC, in, I believe, somewhere in Iowa. So we'll close ourselves out with that. So here you go. It's pretty great.
Trying to get to work and you need to grab a TARC, but it's just too far. Use a bike rack. If you riding your bike and it's getting kind of dark and you want to grab a TARC, use a bike rack.
Bring it down. Can you pull the bar?
So the great thing about this is that I believe it's featuring actual operators from the TARC system as the backup singers and dancers.
That's amazing.
It's almost as good as when TriMet produced that Chillaxin' on the Max project.
Oh, yeah. Was a rap song about how to put a bicycle on a bus. Crank it down, put it on.
That's it.
Pull the bar, put it on.
So many euphemisms.
Yeah, no kidding.
And you know what it's time for, Brandon?
The mailbag.
It's time for that sound you hate.
You've got mail.
Well, well, we got a generous... You want this one? You do this one.
What? The mailbag? Yeah. Oh, sure. All right. We got a generous donation from George in Washington, D.C. So thanks, George, and we really appreciate it. Matter of fact, while we're on the topic of fundraising, mm-hmm. you and I are going to be launching a fundraising effort for this whole podcast thing. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be a Indiegogo account, mm-hmm. I believe, because they let you keep the money you raise whether or not you hit the goal. We're shooting for about $500 because that's about what it costs for us to move to a more reliable host. We have used Podbean, and we've been appreciative of their hosting, but
tolerant.
Podbean, not run by real people.
Yes, read by beans.
That's right. If you get in a problem, they don't talk to you. So I met this guy, Colin, from Edinburgh, Scotland, I think, and he runs this site called The Podcast Host, and we're going to port all of our stuff over to them and start serving from there. And thing is, Colin, a real person, talks to you anytime you have a problem. Yep. So we're going to hopefully have a better looking website and even more reliable service. So there's that.
Also pay for food, or the booze, rather.
Yes. Oh, right. And it pays for beer for our guests, and maybe for our hosts as well, if if we roll around that. And also some new headphones, because you're wearing some that I found at Goodwill.
Yeah.
And I'm wearing a pair that I found at a garage sale in Washtenaw, Washington. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we could use some small, some inexpensive upgrades, and I think that would improve the quality of the show that we bring to all of you. So, anyways, that's
stop
coming up.
Spiking the volume and things.
Right,
like
right.
That.
And we'll talk to you guys about that a bit more as things go along. But that should be live starting this week. Rance, and I think we call you Rance. I don't know exactly how to pronounce the name. The other option, I guess, would be Ronce, but I think it's Rance.
Ranch.
Yes. He wrote in comparing Brandon's banana bike discovery to the very first bicycles, or their prototype, the Dandy Horse. And I tell you what, I wouldn't give to have a Dandy Horse at home. The only difference, he says, is that you hang in the new one and you sit on the old one. Take a look and see. And I believe at the video he links to, time point about 4:38, 4 minutes, 38 seconds, there is a classic example of a guy in like a stovepipe hat and he's riding a Dandy Horse. So, and the thing is...
The dream of Portland.
The dream of the 1890s is live in Portland.
Yeah.
The gate that you use to ride a Dandy Horse is very similar to the gait that you use to ride this little banana bike. And I can't remember where I saw it on one of these. Here it is. Here it is on the tree hugger thing that we talked about in the news.
Oh yeah.
The FLIZ, the Fliz pedalless bike concept. So Fliz, I guess, is what you call that. So there's that. Chris and Arcata, he commented on the red shoulder in episode 92's picture. It's Brock and Adele, me and my wife, riding in Frisco, Colorado on our tour this summer. He says, my questions, what did you think of this colored shoulder you rode on? What state was that located in? Had you discussed the colored shoulder with any other bicycle locals to that area? And can you share any impressions about that portion of your ride? So I would say to all those questions, yeah, it was in Frisco, Colorado, rode on this colored shoulder. I do not know. Steve in Wyoming was my shoulder angel on Twitter for when I was going through Wyoming and Colorado, and he mentioned that it might not be painted, it might actually be colored asphalt, and I do not know. I didn't have a pickaxe or anything, so I couldn't examine below the surface, but either way, it's colored and it looks like it's permanent. I do like a difference in color. And what do you think about this, like colored bike lanes, for example? Are you mm-hmm. a fan?
Yeah. Generally. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the more stressful the area, the more important it is. I think at least getting those boxes closer to intersections, like having a green stretch.
Right, a place helps. That says this is a different color, and that's how you know.
Especially
it's
an
just...
area where people are going to be turning right.
Right, right. Like here in Portland, Clinton Street and Cesar Chavez Boulevard or the old 39th Avenue.
Leave it on 7th.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, turning right onto not Morrison, but... Madison.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're all over town now. There's quite a few of them. But yeah, having a place that's a different color just so it sets it off from other people.
Yep. Yeah, you're turning into a place where there may be a silent, tiny thing going past.
Right.
You
yeah.
That has a human on it.
I thought it was funny back when they were talking about installing those bike boxes in Portland. They wanted to make them blue.
Yeah.
But they thought that people might confuse that with the handicap parking and just land their Buick right in the middle of that, like in the intersection, and just like walk away from it.
Well, and those colors are very precisely chosen.
Yes.
For what your eyes catch mm-hmm. and respond to most viscerally. The
right.
green, the shade of green, the shade of red. It's not just like, let's just enter that HTML color code and see
exactly.
what happens.
They're doing it in
RGB
web design.
Thing, yeah. that's how they do it through the Google.
Yeah. So I was happy riding on that red shoulder. I think red may not be the actual, it may not be the most visible color. Like I don't think it set us off from the road as much as green does, but it was nice. So anyways, yeah, that was fun. And that's it. We've got some upcoming shows. Sean Granton next week is coming in from Urban Adventure League. He's also involved with Cycle Wild, and he is a self-proclaimed retro grouch who is a big fan of the Rivendell cycling philosophy, and he's pretty cool. So we're looking forward to talking to him. Week after that, on the 23rd of September, our crossover episode with Portland Afoot. We've been looking forward to this for a while. So yeah, Michael and Lily are going to come in, and I think it's going to be like our next episode and their next episode together. Mm-hmm. I'm going to stop in and talk to Keel Johnson from Go By Bike. That's the bike shop installed at the bottom of the Portland tram. A lot of people use that for valet parking and repairs, and we're going to talk to him about what he's been up to. And then after that, October 7th, Tammy Strobel and Logan Smith from Rowdy Kittens just moved to California. They're talking about doing some rural bicycling and living on a farm with their tiny house.
So we'll Google Hangout that or something.
Yes, yeah, we're going to talk to them and see how that's been going. And that's pretty much it. Well, hey, Brandon, do you want to give us the end of everything?
Yeah, the end of all things.
Here on the Sprocket Podcast, where we are.
Simplifying the good life.
Oh, I missed it. Never mind. Okay, go ahead.
You can email us at thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com, Twitter us at sprocketpodcast, phone number is 503-847-9774, or visit us on the web at thesprocketpodcast.com for links, info, and more. Ryan J. Lane provided our intro and outro, and his final independently released 2009 project, Conversations at the Leisured. Find him at ryanjlane.bandcamp.com. The new segment is from Hurt Bird, and it's on iTunes. This has been a good episode. Thanks for letting me jabber so long.
I love jabbering with you, Brandon.
Jibba jabba.
Take
jibba
care.
Jibba jabba. Jibba jabba.
See you next week.
I'm not seeing it on my Google Drive.
Oh, really? Damn machines.
Oh, there it is. Got it.
Oh,
nope.
Okay, never mind.
Damn, hang on.
No?
I searched and then it disappeared.
I also just removed you from it so I could send it to you.
Oh, that's freaking funny. Yeah. Got it.
Bam.
Hi, this is Candice.
It works.
I've got to take my gloves off. Yar.
All right.
How come we've never added the yar?
They were bros upon bros. At one point, I looked over and two inebriated fellows were like, one had kind of jumped on another guy as you would have, as though you were swing dancing.
Okay.
And then they were kind of like wobbling around like that, and it was strange. I didn't know what to make of it.
Yeah. All right. Let's get
Sweet.
This party started.
Does your thing work?
Yes, my thing works.
Good.
The soundboard? No.
Okay, that's all right. I have things.
You sure
Sounds can. And whatnot.